walking by, and one of these geniuses throws handcuffs on him and stuffs them in my car. Well, security happens to walk up, sees the, and he says, "Help!" The pledge master says, "They're kidnapping me. They're kidnapping me." And I don't even know what's going on. I mean, there I'm sitting in the front seat. I had nothing to do with it. I just happened to be with a couple of my buddies, and they jumped out. It all happened so fast. They put cuffs on them, threw them in the back of my car. The security guard comes up, and the pledge master says, "Hell, they're kidnapping me." Well, guess who got in trouble? Yeah. Thank God the school didn't call the police. They dealt with it internally, and they gave me 50 hours of community service. So what did I do? I went down. There was this program for underprivileged kids, like 5, 6, 7 years old, and it was an after-school program, and I did sports with them. So I did bombardment and kickball and dodgeball and played games with them, with these underprivileged kids, and nobody knew why I was there, that it was 50 hours of community service for kidnapping somebody. So the city newspaper in Burlington, Vermont did a front page feature article on me, what a great guy I was for giving my time to these 5-year-old underprivileged kids. Never mentioned the kidnapping. So everybody's like, "Joe, oh, you're great. What a great guy Joe Bell is." True story. Okay. It's amazing, huh? Perception is subjective. All right, let's go on. So where do we see these laws about manslaughter? If you're driving down the road and you're drunk and you kill somebody who's crossing the street, what are you going to get? 5 years in jail? 3 years in jail, maybe? 10 years tops? I don't know. What's the going rate for manslaughter these days? 5 to 15 years, and then you get out for good behavior. 5 years, you know, people get out real early, quickly, don't they? They don't. There's no life without parole, is there? No death penalty for manslaughter, is there? Because, you know, so you see what I'm saying? The same laws that are in the Bible are the very law that our society supposedly is governed by. Let's read some more. Now we're going to go to tort law. This is personal injury. Okay, everybody say tort. Who likes chocolate tort? I love chocolate tort. It's one of my favorite desserts. In case anybody wants to make a good dessert that for the rabbi, you want to win points with the rabbi, I like chocolate tort. But tort law is a very different thing. And it has to do with personal injury law. So let's look at Exodus 21, verse 18. Okay? If men have a quarrel and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist and he does not die but remains in bed, if he gets up and walks around outside on his staff, then he who struck him shall go unpunished. He shall only pay for his loss of time and shall take care of him until he is completely healed. If a man strikes, verse 20, his male or female slave with a rod and he dies at his hand, he shall be punished. If, however, he survives a day or two, no vengeance shall be taken, for he is his property. Well, we don't really have that issue today. Verse 22, if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so that she has a miscarriage, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined as the woman's husband may demand of him, and he shall pay as the judges decide. What happens if a man or hits a woman who's pregnant? What does society do? I don't even know what the law is on this. Does anybody know if a woman gets hit and she loses the baby, but she doesn't die? Sometimes they say the baby was murdered. So, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So this, you know, the law on this is kind of depends where it happens and the circumstances. But we see these things in our law. You see that? These crimes that I'm talking about are you know, personal injury. This is personal injury. You know, you talk about ambulance chasers. you know, if you've been injured, call the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. All right. And we'll win great. We'll win big settlements for you at Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. So, so we were in 21. Let's look in verse 23. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. That was the basically the law of you know not only the Bible and the Old Testament, but that was common law in England and in the United States. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You know, if you killed somebody, if you murdered them, you would die. If you, you know, the punishment generally was intended to fit the crime. The punishment was intended to fit the crime, okay? And the difference between criminal law and tort law is, let's say you're driving down the road and you're not looking, you're looking at your iPhone and you hit somebody, or you bump into the back of another person's car. You crash into their car and you damage them and they get whiplash. And let's say their doctor bills are $30,000. Well, either your insurance company will probably have to pony up the $30,000, and that's tort law, that's personal injury law, and it's all comes from the Bible. Here's one. Let's look in verse 6. Of chapter 22. If a man lets a field or vineyard be grazed bare and lets his animal loose so that it grazes in another man's field, he shall make restitution. This is good tort law. From the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If a fire breaks out and spreads to thorn bushes so that stacked grain or the standing grain of the field itself is consumed, he who started the fire shall surely make restitution. Who can tell me what restitution is? What? Damages. Restitution is damages, but restitution, really what it means is to put the party that's been injured back in a better place than they were before the injury. So you're not only paying damages, you're giving them, putting them in a better position than they were before the incident took place. Okay? So I'll give you an example of that. Carolyn in our congregation was in an accident with Aja about 3 or 4 years ago, and Carolyn had this car, which is still a red Subaru, and it was a car her husband had given her, and she was hit broadsided, I guess, by another car. It was the other people's fault, and she was so broken because it was her husband had given her the car, and it was totaled. And so I said, call this guy. It just so happened that my friend, who is the sales manager at Nissan of Oak Ridge, had just moved to Kingsport, to Bristol, and was working as the sales manager of Kingsport Nissan. Lo and behold, just for a few months. So I said, call my buddy Mike. She said, he works for a Nissan dealer, and I had a Subaru. I said, call him. Wallace Nissan owns a Subaru company. I said, Wallace, the same Nissan company owns a Subaru dealer. I think you guys know about that. So I said, if anybody can get you the car, he'll get it for you. And sure enough, he found the same red Subaru with lower mileage, in better condition, and she's driving it to this day, and it was nicer than the one that she lost in the accident. And she got money back. And I don't think she'd mind me telling you. So God provided restitution. He gave her back better than she had before. Praise God. Amen? Who knows what would have happened to that car? Maybe the transmission was about to go, and we don't know it. And maybe God, there was some reason, but God spared Aja and Carolyn, neither of them were injured, but the car was totaled. All right, let's move on. That's tort law. So tort law is ambulance chasers, car accidents, things like that. They're not criminal, but they're where you know, money damages usually, medical bills, things like that. All right, let's go on. When animals kill humans, this is an interesting one. Look at Exodus 21:28. Remember the killer whale down at SeaWorld about 5-6 years ago, 7 years ago, that killed its trainer, and it grabbed her by the hair and it dragged her down to the bottom of the pool and held her down there until she drowned, and then it brought her back up dead, and there was, you know, they let that creature live. Let's see what God has to say about that. Exodus 21, verse 28 through 36. If an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring its owner and had been warned, and he does not confine it, and it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall be put to death as well. If a ransom is demanded of him, then he shall give for the redemption of his life whatever is demanded of him. So he'll have to pay to save his life. Whether it gores a son or a daughter, it shall be done to him according to the same rule. If the ox gores a male or female slave, the owner shall give his or her master 30 shekels or of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. Essentially, if an animal killed a person, the animal was put to death. That's pretty much the law. Amen? That's still the law today. Do you know they killed an elephant in Irwin? Yeah. They hung an elephant 120 years ago, give or take. If you don't know about it, look it up. The elephant hung in Irwin, Tennessee. The elephant killed a man, and so the people of Irwin hung the elephant. And they actually put a noose around his neck, and they must have had some kind of crane, and they picked up the elephant and hung it in Irwin, Tennessee. Only in Irwin would they do that. But that's a true story. I guess they didn't have a hunting rifle big enough to shoot it in the head. But anyway, that's the law. That's God's law. If animals kill humans, they die. Amen? Because once an animal has tasted human blood, has experienced power, God gave us in the garden authority over the animals, right? And once an animal has taken authority over us, then in his mind, he rules us, and he can continue to kill us. So I believe every animal, I don't care if it's a great white shark, needs to be put to death if it kills a human being. And I guarantee you the Greenpeace people and the, you know, Save the Whales folks would disagree with me, but I don't care. That's God's law. So an animal kills a person, the animal should be put to death. And that the whale should have been put to death. All right, let's look at the castle doctrine. Exodus 22, verse 2 and 3. And this is my last law that I'm going to look at. There's many, many laws that are in our books today, in our law books today, that are in the Bible. They come from the Bible, okay? So Exodus 22, verse 2 and 3. This is a very interesting one. If the thief is caught while breaking and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him... Okay, so, all right, let's go... Oh, let's reread verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall pay 5 oxen for the ox and 4 sheep for the sheep. That's restitution. That's putting the owner in a better position than he was before the crime. Okay? That's tort law. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, There will be no blood guiltiness. So if a thief breaks into your house and he is struck, so you shoot him or you hit him with a baseball bat and he dies in your house, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. In other words, you'll be guilty of blood, of his blood. If he comes during the day, he shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If what he stole is actually found alive. So essentially, what it's saying is,